at the very bottom of Samach Gimel Amid Beis, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 lines from the bottom. And if you remember, we're discussing here the sugya of Meiredes, and that is a woman who either refuses to engage in Tashmish Hamita or refuses to do Malacha, Machlokes. The Gemara actually came out. Meiredes mitashmish for sure is a Meiredes, and there's a Machlokes. Do I apply the law of Meiredes to Malacha as well? And the Mishnah basically adopts a procedure, although later the Amoraim disagreed with it, but the Mishnah adopted a procedure where we deduct from her ksuba a certain amount every week. So now we're going to discuss exactly how far do we go. There is a machlokas in the Mishnah. Do we just get it down to zero, or can it turn into a net liability? But even if you get it down to zero, there's going to be an ambiguity. And here's the shaila. Kal say to Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid had a daughter-in-law, married. We don't know who her husband was, but it was Rav Zvid's son, Imrida. She was a Meiredes, and as a result, the law of the Mishnah applies that for every week there will be a deduction on her ksuva. And that includes the dowry that she brought in. But the problem was, Habi Tefisa Chadshira. She had taken physical possession of one garment. Shira is normally a silk garment that she had brought into the marriage. But there were other garments and other items that she was not in physical possession of. So Yosef, Ameimar, Umar Zutra, Varavashi. So there were the three rabbis, Ameimar, Mazutra, Varavashi, who were debating this issue. The Yosef, Rav Gamda, Gabai. Rav Gamda was a Talmud. Rav Gamda was sitting with them as a Talmud. Yasvi, Vika Amri. And they were sitting and debating the following point. Morda, well actually they said a statement. Morda, when she is a Meiredes, and as a result her kesuva is diminished, that will even apply to the items that, well it says, if Sida Balaisekim, and let me just explain the issue here. We know that when a woman brings in a dowry, the dowry is valued and becomes an obligation that's added to the ksuva. So it might be at, whatever, $10,000, let's say $100,000, and that is what Chazal call Nichsei Tzayin Barza. It's called iron sheet. The reason why it's called iron sheet is it is an absolute commitment to assume financial responsibility. So even if the property goes down, the husband must pay that value. Now, it also means if the property goes up, the husband's liability is limited to that value. So he gets the benefit of appreciation, and he does have the risks of depreciation. Now, the din of Meiredes for sure, if you wait long enough, erases the husband's financial liability. But the question is, if part of the dowry is physically intact, even if the husband's liability gets erased, perhaps she will at least be able to take what is physically still surviving. So they said no. They said a Meiredes not only erases the financial liability, but she even loses. Now, literally, belosa just means worn-out clothing. But it's left off the worn-out clothing. It's simply an expression that means any leftover items that she brought into the dowry that are physically still in existence. It might be china, it might be furniture, it might be a car, whatever it is. So they taina, and again, the logic of their taina is very strong. Because essentially, in a nichsei tzayin barzel, it's no longer her property. It became the husband's property. So, in a sense, whether he's giving back the actual item or whether he's paying money, it's just liability, and that gets erased. So, therefore, they taina that she does not get back her bala'os, even if they're kayamin. So, Amar Lu Rav Gamda. So, Rav Gamda said, kind of irreverently, he says, oh, so you're favoring the husband over here, right? And you're basically telling the husband he doesn't have to pay the dowry. Mishum de Rav Zavid, Gavra Rabba Machnafisule. Is it because Rav Zavid is such a great man, you want to flatter him, you want to bend the rules in Rav Zavid's son's favor? Vahama Rav Kahana, mi boy Rava. Rav Kahana said this was a shaila of Rava. Does she get the dowry items that are intact? V'loi pashit. Now, therefore, so the Gemara is a little incomplete. We have to theorize the Gemara. What Rav Gamda is arguing is that since it is a suffix, whether she gets it or doesn't get it, we have to apply the rules, Hamotzi mechaverei olafaraya. Therefore, she will not get any items of dowry that are in the husband's custody, but whatever she was tofeset, she will get. And therefore, Rav Gamda is saying, you are incorrect by denying her even the garment that she was tofeses, because since Buloseh Kayamin is a bayad ola yipshita, we have to go with the din of Hamotzi mechaverei olafaraya. Which means Rav Gamda's argument is that she will get what she is in possession of, she will not get that which she is not in possession of. That's the first version of the story.
Were they actually the best in that was being done this din, or were they just discussing it theoretically?
Probably not. It probably was. Although it's tempting because there are happens to be three rabbis, but the overall context seems to be not a based in. They were just discussing the halacha. Ika diamri. Some people say that it went a different way. Yasvi b'kamri morda lo yifsida b'leisad kayamin. They actually paskin the other way. She's entitled to get everything, even what she's not tofesis. In other words, as long as the dowry is intact. Yeah. So on this, Rav Gamda said a different version. Omer lo Rav Gamda, mishum Rav Zvid gavur rabahu avchisulei ladina. Here's the other argument. Rav Zvid is not going to complain. So even if you mess him up and mess up his son, he's a great man, he will take it. So are you reversing the din because you figure Rav Zvid is such a chash of a person that he's not going to complain? Again, the same shayla, Hamar of Kahana, mi boy boy lay rabba v'lo pashit. And as a result, the husband should get the benefit of Hamotzi mechaverei olafaraya. The bottom line is, Rav Gamda is saying the same thing in both lashonos. Rav Gamda's position is, she keeps what she's a muhsekes in, and she does not keep what she's not a muhsekes in. So the Gemara therefore says, Taka, hashtag loy itzmar loy hachiv lo hachi, since it is a safek, tafsa, that which she physically took possession of, lo mafkinan mina, we do not make her give it up, because this is a very interesting idea that in some ways is counterintuitive, and that is, even an illegitimate tefisa, in other words, when you have a safek in mammon, and the din is, hamotzi mechaveru olafaraya, and let's say I'm the toveya, and the basin would not allow me to collect, because hamotzi mechaveru, if I took it, I just went into your house and I took it, the same way the basin didn't allow me to take it, they wouldn't allow you to take it, because once I'm a muhsak, hamotzi mechaveru olafaraya. This is the sugya, this is sort of tukfu kohen. In other words, when you have a suffix, whether a certain animal has kedushas b'chor or not, so the Yisrael does not have to give it to the kohen, because hamotzi mechaveru olafaraya. But if the kohen is toface, he keeps it. We cannot make him give it back because he. Now, unfortunately, that does create the potential for indefinite feuding, because each person can grab it, and whoever happens to grab it, so de facto it'll be called Olam Gevurah. Whichever person grabs it, Basin will never intervene, because in a suffix moment. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. Okay, now this is a new thing. This is fascinating. This is apparently, and it's not clear to me all the history here. Chazal had a lot of trouble figuring out what we should do with the Moredes. Right? So far we've had two stages. Now this is the third stage. The Mishnah stage was, we deduct from her kesuva a certain amount every month, including the dowry, until it gets to zero, in order to force her to come back. Then we had a second stage, where instead of doing gradual deductions, we announce four Shabbatot in a row that she is a Moredes, and we send her warnings before and after. And after a month, her ksuba is down to zero and the husband divorces her. Right? That was stage two. Now, there's a stage three. At a later time, there was a stage three. Umashinen la treser yarche shata agita. That the man is instructed, if he wants reconciliation, obviously, he is instructed to withhold a get for up to 12 months. And ubahanach treser yarche shata, and during those 12 months, lesle mezone mibal, the baal is not mechuyev to give. Again, he wants to be a nice guy, he could be as nice as he wants to be. But al pidin, he is not mechuyev to give her mazonos, give her financial support for those 12 months. So she gets what you might call the worst of both worlds. She cannot petition for a get within that year, nor can she petition for mazonos. And instead of gradually reducing her ksuva, this is the sanction that we employ. Now, there is a machlokas.
Potentially, that's yeah. Penalty.
Well, I mean, here's the question. I mean, there is a chiv of tzedakah.
Right.
The only thing is the husband has to give the same tzedakah as everybody else, meaning he's not mechuyev as a husband to keep her alive, but when they pass around the pushka to give her sustenance, he'll have to contribute like everybody else. But no more. It becomes a communal obligation of aniyim. Now, there is a machlokas.
Is, though, yeah. If he's not chayev in zonos, yeah. Does he get her masiyadeh?
That's a good question, but Pashas he would not. So if she's able to work, the benefit would be she would keep, have her earning. Now that's not always going to, it depends. If she's able to have, if she has a good job, then Baruch Hashem, she's Masudar, but even if she's not, she doesn't get the Mazonos. Now there is a Machlokes. If you follow this stage three, do you also combine it with the Mishnah's rule of reducing the Ksuba, or are these exclusive, right? Is this a mahalach that replaces? And if it replaces, you do have a problem. I mean, what's exactly going on here? How could the Amorayim simply not follow the Mishnah? I mean, can they make takanos in which they don't follow the procedure of the Mishnah? But the short answer is, in these types of monetary sanctions, later but they didn't do have kind of a flexibility to readjust. Okay. All right, now we go back to what is a moredes. And Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel, Kaisvin Igeres Mered Al Arusa, V'ein Kaisvin Igeres Mered Al Shomeres Yavam. So the simple Havamina is, but we're going to go through many, many permutations, an Igeres Mered is simply a psak of Beis Din, that a person is a Mored or Moredes, and as a result, whatever sanctions you apply to them, you apply to them. So what Shmuel is saying is, an Arusa can be a Meredes, if she says, I don't want to go through with Nisuin, and we would therefore deduct the Ksuva or whatever. But a Shomeres Yavam, who says, I don't want Yivam, cannot be characterized as a Meredes, and her rights to the Ksuva will be intact. Now that's what we think it means. And the obvious problem with this is, this contradicts an explicit brisa that we learned yesterday, that a Shomeres Yavam can be a Meredes, right? So the Gemara asked the Kasha, right? We had this brisa before. Meisvei, Achas Li Arusa Unesua, Afilu Nida, Afilu Chola, V'Afilu Shomeres Yavam, state Beferesh, that any type of wife can be a Meredes, an Arusa, a Nesua, even a Chola, because of Pas Pasala, who's not able to have intercourse, or a Nida, that's not able, but if she says she's not going to do it, and even a Shomeres Yavam is a Meredes. So how could Shmuel say, we don't write in Igeres Mered against a Shomeres Yavam? The Brisa says Shomeres Yavam can be a Meredes. So the Gemara says we're totally reversing what Shmuel means. Loikasha, kan shetovahu, kan shetovahi. Tovahu means the man wants to do Yibam, and the woman says no. So that's what the Brisa is talking about. That's exactly how we learned. If the man wants Yibam and the woman says no, it is considered, at least in the Havamina here, the man's prerogative, and the woman is a Meredes. But that which Shmuel says, the Yavama, that you don't write an Igeres Mored on a Shomeres Yavam, so we're switching the case. It doesn't mean that she's the Moredes. It means we don't write an Igeres Mered for a Shomeres Yavam when it's the man that says, I don't want to be Miyavam. Now the Gemara's going to ask in a moment that doesn't fit the words. But in this teretz, we're basically saying that Shmuel is not talking about the woman being the Moredes. He's talking about the man refusing to do Yibam, and we will not make him a Mored based on that. The Yomar Rav Tachliva Baravimi Amar Shmuel, Tovahu, when a man demands Yibam, Niskakin Lai, we will direct the woman to do Yibam. Now we're not going to physically force her, but we will direct her, and if she doesn't, she becomes a Meredes. Again, we don't physically force, but we will put the sanction on her. Tovahi, if she wants Yibam, however, Ein Niskakin La, Basin will not assist her, because at least at this point we think that Yibum or Chalitza is the prerogative of the husband, because the Torah says Im lo yachpotzoish, right, then you do Chalitza. Okay, so now what have we done now? So we've established that Shmuel is referring to the man being the Moed. Now, you'll notice Shmuel gave two cases. We write in Igeres Mered for Arusa, but not Shemeres Yavam. Now, if the case of Shemeres Yavam is that she's the rebellious one, then the case of Arusa, I'm sorry, the other way around, that when we say we don't write in Igeres Mered for Shemeres Yavam, that means if he's the rebellious one, we don't write in Igeres Mered against him. That would imply by Arusa, if he is the one that doesn't want to do Nisuin, we would write in Igeres Mered against him. Because you have to make the cases symmetrical. So Frek de Gemara, Bamayu Kim Tolahad Shmuel. You are saying that Shmuel's case of Shemeres Yavam is the man is the Moreid, Bishetovahi. So first of all, the Lashon doesn't make sense. Hai Kaisvin Igeres Mered Al Arusa. Shmuel's language was, we write in Igeres Mered on an Arusa. But according to your, that implies she's the rebellious party. But according to your interpretation, it doesn't mean we're writing it against an Arusa. It would mean we're writing it for the Arusa, if the Arus doesn't want to go through with it. So it shouldn't have said, Kosvin Igeres Mered Al Arusa. It should have said, Kosvin Igeres Mered Le Arusa. Le Arusa means for the benefit of an Arusa. So the Gemara says, okay, Ha Loi Kasha Tani La Arusa. Again, the Gemara often does this, meaning when the words of a Braisa are not an exact fit. So sometimes we say, now it's not clear, are we changing the girsa, or are we simply saying you can kind of fit that meaning into those words? No, so the Gemara doesn't have too much of a problem. But now, the Gemara wants to know the logic of it. So now, Nachamal, how are we learning Shmuel's statement? Right? So we have our pshat in Shmuel, that Shmuel basically says, if a man refuses to do nisuin, the woman can get an igeres, a psak, that he is a moreid, adding to the ksuva. But if a man refuses to do yibum, he will not be a moreid. So the woman has no taina for yibum, but she has a taina for nisuin. Right? That's what Shmuel is saying. So the Gemara now wants to know, what is the logic of that? Maishna shomeres yavim deloy. Why would a shomeres yavim not be able to force a yibum? The amrinan law, because we tell her, Zil, you have no right to be concerned, because as long as he's willing to give chalitza, what is your problem? Lo mifkedis, you are not commanded on the mitzvah of pru urvu. Women are not commanded on pru urvu. So if he doesn't want to be miyabim you, because that's the whole purpose of yibam, to have children, you don't have a taina. So frek de gemara, arusanah. So if a man, again, we're not talking about the man wants to keep her in a good, the man wants to give her a get. So we're not going to make him a moreid, because we could say the same thing to the Arusa. You're not commanded per Yeruvia. Namely, zeal, lo mifkedis, you're not commanded. Ella, the answer must be, what is the taina of an Arusa? Right? What is the taina of an Arusa against the Arus? Ella, beba machmas taina, even if she's not commanded, she has a taina. Diamra, ba'ina chutra liyada umara likvura. This is an expression the Gemara uses in a few places, that even though, and it's quite logical, even though a woman is not commanded to have children, she certainly desires to have children, because she says, I want a cane to lean on in my old age, and I want a shovel that will dig my grave. In other words, the basic idea is she wants children to, it's an interesting expression. Basically, she wants children to take care of her, but it refers to the maternal instinct. So if that's a taina, if that is a taina that she can use against an Arus, why can't that be a taina she can use against a Yavam? So what's the chiluk? Hachanami shomeres Yavam beba machmas taina. Okay. So because of this, the Gemara is going to now switch around and go back to what we thought in the first place. Meaning, legabe the woman, it's the same. A man who refuses nesuin is a moreid, and a man who refuses yibam is also a moreid. And Shmuel's chiluk is going back to her. And this fits the language of the Braisa, that he wants, if he wants Nisuin and she doesn't, she is a Meredes, but if he wants Yibam and she doesn't, she's not a Meredes. Now we have to reconcile it with the Braisa. So the problem is, the Braisa says, a Shemeres Yavim is a Meredes, like Kasha. Kan lachleitz, kan liyabim. Meaning, d'amar Rav Pedas, d'amar Rav Yechanan, tava lachleitz niskakin lay, tava liyabim ein niskakin lay. So now we understand it this way. If the husband wants yibam, and she doesn't want yibam, she wants chalitza, that is where Shmuel says she's not a meredes, because she's not mechuyebes to agree to yibam. Unlike Nisuin, which she already agrees, yeah, and she already agreed to Nisuin, right? So Shmuel is basically saying, again, according to this, a woman who refuses yibam but wants chalitza is not a meredes. So when does the Braisa say she is a meredes? If the husband, if the yavam wants to give chalitza and she says no, she kind of puts him into, it's not really an aguna situation, but if she even, in other words, she has a right to refuse yibam, but she does not have a right to refuse chalitza. So now it's not a contradiction. The braisa that says a shemeres yavam is a meredes is when she refuses to go through with chalitza. When Shmuel says she's not a meredes, she's willing to get chalitza, but she doesn't want to go through with yibam. So now the Gemara asks, well, why is it so bad? Well, what disadvantage is she giving her yavam by saying, I don't want chalitza? The only person that's suffering is her. Maishna liyavam delo. She doesn't have the right to refuse. In other words, if she refuses yibam, she's not a meredes. The amrinalei, we tell the husband, you can marry another woman. Zil v'nasiv v'sacharite, ebazai lachlitz nami. Even if she refuses chalitza, why does the Braisa say she's a meredes? Name Olay, good. She doesn't want chalitza. She's the one that's suffering. Right? I can marry another wife. In fact, even after the Tekanis Rabbeinu Gershom, I mean, if the woman refuses to have Yibam with me, I can marry another wife. Zil v'nasiv v'sacharit. So what's the answer? Ela di'amar, here is the Yavam's taina. I want to give her chalitza. She's refusing. So you're going to tell me the only person that's suffering is her. No. Until I give her chalitza, she's tied to me through the relationship called Zika. That's going to make my shiduchim prospects weak. Meaning to say, when I want to go out dating, they're going to say, what about that yavama you didn't take care of yet? So his taina is, she's a meredes, because she is hurting my marital prospects. The Amar, Kivan the Agida B, since she is tied to me, even, albeit through the connection of Zika, Loka Yavi Liacharita, they're not going to give me another wife. Hachanami, Ebazai, when he wants Yibam and she refuses, it's the same thing. Kivan the Agida B, Loka Yavi Liacharita. Now, this is a very shver kasha, because Lachaira, like this, he wants Yibam and she says, no, give me Chalitza. He has a very simple way out of this problem. In other words, for him, the Gemara is now asking, the same way if she refuses chalitza, he can make her a meredes because she's putting him in a position where he can't get married. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, if she refuses yibam, it should be the same thing. And therefore she should be, right, the Gemara is asking, she should be a meredes. So Taisus says, what type of Kasha is that? A woman who says, I don't want Yibam, give me Chalitza, she's not putting the Yavam in any difficulty. If the Yavam wants to get married, the Yavam will give her Chalitza, and she'll accept that. So, in a way, Shmuel is working out very good. Shmuel is basically saying, a woman who says, I don't want Yibam, but I want Chalitza, is not a Meredes. But a woman who demands Yibam and refuses to take Chalitza is a Meredes, right? So, the question is, What is the Gemara's Kasha? So 1 second. So let me just see what Taisa says quickly. Because of this, Taisa learns a little differently than Rashi. Instead of learning that she doesn't want Yibam but is willing to take Chalitza, it basically means she doesn't want either. In other words, she's refusing both options. And therefore the Gemara is asking, why isn't it a Mogedes? Okay. So the Gemara now answers like this. Edi v'edi, both Shmuel and the Braisa are talking about a man wants Yibam. And she's willing to take Chalitza. So now we have a contradiction. The Braisa says she is a Meredes, and Shmuel says she's not a Meredes. It's a stira, like Tava Leibam. The answer is, it all depends. Like Hasha, Khan, the Braisa is following the rule of the Mishnah Rishayna, the earlier version of the Mishnah, you'll see in a second, and Khan, the Mishnah Achrayna. Now what is this? Disnan. This is a Mishnah in Bechairis, and it says, Mitzvahs Yibam Kaidemes to Mitzvahs Chalitza. That doing Yibam is preferable to doing Chalitza, because that's how the Torah says. The Torah says there's a Mitzvah of Yibam, and only in Lo Yachbites you do Chalitza as a second level. However, that was only true Berishayna, in the earlier generations, whenever that was, Shehayu Mischavnim L'Shom Mitzvah, that if they did Yibam, it was only for the purpose of perpetuating the seed of the brother. So when you're Mechavein L'Mitzvah, Mitzvahs Yibam is Kaidemes L'Mitzvahs Chalitza. That's called the Mishnah Rishayna. But Achshav, Shein Mischavnim L'Shom Mitzvah, this is already in the time of the Mishnah. But in these days, where people are not mechaven l'mitzvah, they're mechaven for taiva, omru, mitzvahs chalitza kaidemes l'mitzvahs yibam. So again, that is why Ashkenazim mechalapachas, we do not do yibam b'zman hazeh, we only do chalitza, because what is the swara? Because intrinsically, one of the arayas is eshesach. To marry your brother's widow is an erva. Elamai, when there are no children, the Torah said the mitzvah of Yibam takes off the erva. In other words, it's an erva that has a mitzvah attached to it. So there is a swara, the Mishnah Achrayna says, that if you do that maisa of Yibam for improper motives, it is ke'ilu your pagaya b'erva.
So Abishol.
This is Abishol, right. Abishol is not quoted in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah Achrayna goes like Abishol, that if you're by Elisha. Now, the pashtus is, though, that even though we advise people to do chalitza, many rishonim say if they want to do yibam, we allow it. Even though our minhag is we don't do that either. Many sfardim, in fact, do matar yibam, although the rabbanut made a takana. This is interesting. In 1948, the rabbanut made joint takanas not to differentiate between Ashkenazim and sfardim. So sfardim were makabel, chayim drabeinu gershom, not to marry two wives. And they were makabel not to do yibam. This was a takana Rav Uziel and Rav Herzog made joint takanas. Now it's interesting, Rav Ovadia, when Rav Ovadia became the Rav Harashi, Rav Ovadia said that Rav Uziel did not have the right to be mavatel the minhagim of Sfarad, because he said, you know, how come whenever there's a joint takana to create uniformity, it's always Sfaradim giving up what they do in favor of Ashkenazim? Right? That's kind of an old problem. So Rav Avadja actually claimed, l'halacha l'maisa, that Sfaradim should do Yibam, even today, and Sfaradim do not have a chemer Rabbeinu Gershom, they could marry, I think it's against Israeli law, but they can marry multiple wives. But as I say, the but they din of the Rav HaRashi of Sfaradim did not accept Rav Avadja's psak, so they remain with the takana of Rav Uziel, going back to 1948. Now, just to go back to our immediate sugya, this is the key to reconciling the contradiction between Shmuel and the Braisa. When Shmuel says, we don't write an igeres merit against a shemeres yavam, that simply means, bizman hazeh, if the yavama says, I don't want yibam, there's no way you can make her a moredes, because chalitza is preferable to yibam, and that's why ein kaisman. When the Braisa, however, says, a shemeres yavam can be a moredes, that refers to the Mishnah Rishona, when in fact there was a mitzvah of Yibam, and if she says no, she becomes. So now it's really, we're really going back to the simplest explanation of Shmuel, that it's a direct situation, the man says, I want Yibam, she says no. Like the Mishnah Rishona, she's a moredes, like the Mishnah Achrona, she's not a Moredis, and Shmuel is referring to the Mishnah Achrona. Which means she's willing to get Chalitza, that's not the issue. She's not holding him up in any way. Okay. Now, we then had a Machlokas about how much you deduct from the Ksuva. So the Tanakhama expressed it in terms of dinarim. A dinar is the same as a zuz. You deduct the dinarim per week, and Rav Yehuda expressed it, you deduct, or in the case of a moreg, you add, trepik. Right? So trepik is kind of a very obscure coin, so the Gemara wants to explain how much is that. My trapikin. So Amar of Sheshes, istera. Vakama istra, palga de zuza. Okay, this is a little complicated. Let me just explain one thing. That in the time of Chazal, there were two basic currencies, these were coins, that circulated in Eretz Yisrael. There was what was called the Selat Suri, Suri's Tyre in Phoenicia, and there was what was called the Sela Medina, and the Sela Medina had only 1/8 the silver content of a Selat Suri. So a Selat Suri is 8 times the silver content of a Sela Medina. There is a machlokes, which the Gemara doesn't address here, is a kesuva, which is 200 zuz, is it 200 zuz medina or 200 zuz tsuri? Because if it's 200 zuz medina, in other words, it's a smaller weight of silver, that would make it 25 zuzim of kesef tsuri. So you may recall, if you listen carefully, or you may know from your own experience, that there are some Sephardic kesuvos that express the amount of kesuva as 25 kesevs zuzei suri, because they say the kesuva is 200 zuz of medina. And that depends in turn whether the kesuva is the oraisa or the kesuva is the rabbanan, because there is a din that for chiyuvim the oraisa we go with kesev suri, and for chiyuvim drabanan we go with kesef medina. Now an istra is just a term for a sela medina, and a sela medina is 1/2 of a zuz of tsuri. Why is this so? Because sela equals 4 zuzim. But 4 zuzim of medina are 1/2 zuz of tsuri, because tsuri is 8 times, right? Because medina is 1/8, right? 1/8 of Suri, so therefore...
Backwards here, though? Don't we start out by saying that we have Hamishim and Mea Mana, and that refers to Shekalim, and we know the value of a shekel is Esrin Deir?
Yes, no, you're 100% correct. And that's exactly, on a deeper level, that's exactly the lumbus of the Gemara, that if Kisuvah is the Oraisa, based on the Shekalim in the Torah, you have to go with Suri. Because that is, Suri is the shekel weight of the Torah. That's exactly right. But if it's Drabanan, then they could have used the more frequent currency that was Medina, because it's not linked to anything the Torah says. Now, you're correct. This debate of Suri and Medina is not a debate about the shekel of the Torah. It is a debate in terms of what is the Chiyuv Ksuva. So, as a result, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a trepik is 1/2 of a zuz of the Torah. Tanya Nami Hachi, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Shalesha Tarpikin, 3 Tarpikin a week, that's how you add to the husband's ksuva, which is Teisha Ma'in, that's 9 Ma'a Kesef, that's a smaller silver coin, which is a Ma'a V'chetzi, B'chol Yom. Let me just look at the Mishnah again a second. The 3, see, Rabbi Yehuda had this. Rabbi Yehuda says, we deduct from the woman 7. The woman's going to ask, why is there a difference between men and women here? You deduct from the woman 7 tarpikin, but you add to the man, if he's a morate, 3. The woman's going to ask that. We'll see that in a moment. Why is there that difference? But okay. So now we have a few kashas, and that is the following. The question is, do we use Shabbos to accumulate your penalty? And on that we have an inconsistency between men and women. We'll look at the Mishnah again. Rav Yehuda says, for a man, 1 second. Yeah. If a man is a Mirate, we add on to the Kesuvah 3 dinari, I'm sorry, three tarpikin per week. Three tarpikin are nine ma'a, because there are three ma'a per tarpikin. And nine ma'a, if you divide by six, the penalty is 1.5 ma'a per day, not counting Shabbos. So the man's penalty, he is not penalized for being a moreh on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Shabbos is his day off. And yet, with respect to the woman's computation, which is seven tarpikin, that's one, again, the Gemara's not asking about the different amount, that's another kasha we'll have. The Gemara will ask it later. But it's simply asking, why is the woman penalized for Shabbos? The woman gets a deduction, including Shabbos, but the man does not get a penalty for Shabbos. And that is right. Maishna ihu the avinan lay the Shabbos, umaishna ihi the lo yavinan la the Shabbos. So the Gemara gives an interesting swara. Ihi de mifchas kapachis. With respect to the woman, de mifchas kapachis, you are deduct. In other words, the woman's punishment is a deduction from her ksuba. She's not. Nobody's getting more money. The husband is not getting anything. He is simply being relieved of a liability. Let me explain this outside. There is an Issur D'Rabbanan, very important Issur D'Rabbanan, called Sechar Shabbos, which is really on the Makabel. You are not allowed to get paid for anything you do on Shabbos, even if there is no malacha at all. In fact, how a chazan gets paid, how a rabbi gets paid, it has to be bahavlah, etc. There is an Issur of Sechar Shabbos because it resembles Mekach u'memkar, which the Chachamim prohibited, Bizeira Shema Yichtev. Now, so the Gemara says the following. To pay a woman by giving her extra money because of Shabbos would be paying Sechar Shabbos, and therefore we don't do it. But when you deduct from the woman, nobody is paying, you're just taking off the liability. That does not resemble getting money for Shabbos. And that is the chiluk between taking off from the man versus adding on to the ksuva. That is, ihu, the man, asufe kamitzvah, if you're adding to his ksuva, she's getting money, michsi, it looks like, it really is not Shkar Shabbos, because the woman didn't do anything to earn this money, but it looks like Shkar Shabbos. Okay. But now we have another kash, which is a more basic kash, and that is, why is the deduction only, the knas for the man is only half of that of the woman? Right? The man is three, and the woman is seven. So even if we answered Shabbos, but why is there that difference in rates? Amar le Rav Chiya bar Yosef le Shmuel, ma bein mori le maredes, in terms of amounts. Amar le, tsei ulamad mishuk shel zaynais, go to a prostitution market. Mi socher es mi. Who is the one that's paying the money? And in the normal course of events, there will be men who are seeking women rather than women who are seeking to hire men. And the way this is explained is, Rashi says, again, this is only makes sense if you're Nimna Mitashmish, that the tsar of the man, that is Nimna Mitashmish, is greater than the tsar of the woman. And therefore, when the man is on the receiving end, the pain is greater, and that is why the punishment is more than when the woman is on the receiving end. That is one answer. Davar Acher, another teretz, Ze Yitzro Mibachutz, the man's frustration might, in some cases, be expressed in a visible way, and that could create supplementary humiliation. Ze Yitzro Mifnim, inside the woman, at least there's not going to be that aspect of humiliation. So that was enough for Chazal to be kaveh. Okay. So we have two differences between the man and the woman. One is whether you use Shabbos as part of the calculation, and the other is the actual rate. The per diem rate is going to be different. Okay. We now come to the Mishnah. Now this next Mishnah is dealing with the following. We know, of course, that one of the chiyuvim of a husband is mezaynes, food and supports, and normally when they're living together, we don't quantify it. I mean, whatever he's eating, she's eating. That's not a big deal. But let's say the man is going on a trip. The man is going to whatever it is. He's going to China for 2 years. He's not going to be home, so he's mechuyev to set up a mechanism where she will receive the mezonos that she's entitled to do. So the Mishnah is giving you minimal obligations. Now we're going to see that if he's an usher, the obligations go up. But even if he's, this is the lowest level, that no matter how poor he is, these are the minimums that he must see supply to his wife. And this is called Hamashre es Ishtai al Yedei Shalish. This would be talking about a situation where he's not going to be home, he's going to be incognito, and he needs a trustee, an apitropis, to make financial provision. Now, it really makes no difference if this is money he puts up, or this is money the apitropis will put up that he will pay, but these are the minimal obligations that have to be met, and this is per week. So the Mishnah gives you a list. Again, it's hard to know in contemporary measurements what this would be. Lo yitchleish la mishnei kabim chitim. He has to give her two kabim. These are volume measurements. Two kabim of wheat per week. Omei arba kabim saorin, or if it's barley, four kabim. We'll see, because barley grains tended to be inferior and you needed more of them to make the requisite bread. But Amar Rav Yaisi, the only one that said Sa'arim was acceptable was Rabbi Yishmael, Shaya Samach Liadim, who lived near Edomite country, that's kind of like Saudi Arabia, and there Sa'arim were commonly eaten. So the first thing is is enough flour for bread baking for the whole week. We'll see exactly how many meals that is. The Nosing La Chasi Kav Kipnis, you give her a half kav of legumes, of beans. Again, not during Pesach or Ashkenazim, but chatsi lug shemen, a half a lug. Okay, now the revius of a lug is the very famous measurement that we use for Kiddush. So if I say the erech, a fourth of a lug is 4 ounces, so this would be 8 ounces of oil, of olive oil for cooking or for use. The kav, grogros, those are dried figs. O mana devela, or a devela is a pressed date loaf. Though, again, you have to translate this because all of the other measurements until now are volume measurements. Mana is a weight measurement. And Rashi simply says that the weight of 100 shekel. Rashi simply says that it was simply how they were sold, meaning the dried figs were sold by volume and the pressed dates were sold by weights. And as a result, that would be the same equivalence in terms of how much food you're giving her. In addition to food, Vimeinlo, if he doesn't have this exact menu, Posek Lumas and Peres and Makamachan, he must give her produce of a different nature, which she could either eat or convert to money and sell. Nosing La Mita, he must give her a bed. And this refers to both a bed and a couch, but one suffices for both. These are very minimal things. Mafas and machzelas, these are two types of mats. The Gemara will explain. One is a soft mat and one is a harder mat. These are obligations. The nice thing about kipa l'raisha, now this is once a year. Once a year, he must give her like a covering for her hair, like a hat.
We have to get a wife a new shekel every year.
Well, it doesn't have to be a shekel, but you know, some type of cap. The chagor lemoshnan, kind of a girdle for her waist. Umin alayim, and a new pair of shoes. Min moed lemoed, every single yomper. So he has to make provision for shoes. The kalim shel chamishim zuz mishana l'shana. Now kalim here means clothing, and a general clothing allowance of 50 zuz for every year. And then he makes the point. Ein nosnin la lo chadashim bimosachama. Do not give her new clothes in the summer months. The reason is new clothes tend to be stiff and hot and uncomfortable. So do not give her new clothing in the summer months. Velo shechakim bimosachishamim. Do not give her worn clothing, used clothing, in the winter months because it may keep her cold. But the best way to do it is no same law kalim shel chamishim zuz bimosag yishamim. Give her new clothing in the winter months. So the fact that it's warmer is a mila, and then he mischaseh biblosem. She'll wear it until yemais hachama, and then even though there is a clothing allowance of 50 zuz per year. But obviously she'll still have clothing from last year. Hashichakim, the old clothing shalah. So she can build up a wardrobe, meaning she's getting new clothing, but she could obviously still keep the old clothing as well. And then finally, no say ma kesef litzarcha. In addition to all of this, he must give her an extra ma'a of kesef. Now, ma'a is not very much. It's actually less than a zuz. Per week for miscellaneous items. To have her hairdresser, whatever, her nails, or whatever it is. Now, in all of these cases, im ein no sein la ma'a kesef, if he does not give her the ma'a kesef, even if he gives her mezainas, the tzarcha, now again, Rashi explains that this line is not to be taken literally. This was a big, big machlokas before. And our maskana in the preceding parak is the following. Maiseyadeha are the earnings that Chazal expected a woman to make. And that's going to be the next line of the Mishnah. That's the what comes out of the spinning of thread of five saloyim. Now, if she earns more than that value, that is called mosar maisiyada. And that can be quite a lot. If she works as a lawyer or whatever it is, a doctor. Now, the rule is, mizonos entitles him to basic maisiyadayim. But the ma kesef entitles him to mosar maisiyadayim. Now, if he is giving her mizonos, but he just doesn't give her the extra, he will get maisiyadayim. But when the Mishnah says he forfeits Maisi Yadayim, means he forfeits the Mosar Maisi Yadayim, which is because of the Ma Kesef. So if he doesn't give her Mizonos, she keeps her Maisi Yadayim. If he doesn't give her the Ma Kesef, she will keep the Mosar, if there is, the Mosar Maisi Yadayim. Right, so the Mishnah has to be reinterpreted in light of the Sugya that we learned before. And now we ask, the Mishnah explains, Umahi Aisa Lai, what is the Maisa Yadayim that she's obligated to generate? So the Mishnah says, Mishkal Chamesh Salaim Shesi Biyahuda, Shehain Eser Salaim Bigalil. That Chazal did not require a woman to work outside of the home. They did not require it. They were Kaiveya, that she, the income that she brings in, has to be from a domesticated activity that can take place in the home. And what they chose, again, how to apply this in modern times is very difficult, but the job that they chose was spinning thread that can be sold, and she is obligated on a weekly basis to produce the weight, this is not a money, this is weight, the weight of five saloyim, shesi in Yehuda, which in Golil, because a sella only had half the weight, would be 10 salam in Gullah. Now, shesi is like this. If you've seen a picture, if you've seen a loom, so the chute al shesi, there's warp and woof. The warp threads are those that go across the length of the womb, and they're interspersed with the woof thread, the arev, that goes in and out, in and out, in and out. Right, the melachas of Shabbos, a number of obscure melachas of Shabbos are involved the weaving process. In fact, there's a rav in England, a dayan in England, who goes around the world with his portable loom to show people all these weaving melachas. Now, apparently, the chute hashesi are much thicker than the interwoven chute ha'arev, and therefore, to make five salayim of shesi, or if she chooses arev, it would be mishkal Eser Salaim, Erev Biyahuda Shein Esrim Eser Shein Esrim Salaim Begalot. So she has a choice. She can make five Salaim of Shesi or 10 Salaim of Erev, and that would be doubled. Again, not really doubled. In other words, the numbers would be doubled in Galil because their measurements were half as big. It's the same amount either way. It's just a question of how much is a Sela. That weight would be half in Gaul, and therefore you'd have to do double just to have the same amount. I'm sorry, I skipped a line, but we'll go back. There's one line before that. Eicheles imai milele Shabbos lelele Shabbos. That even if the man is away the whole week, one of his obligations is to have his Friday night meal with his wife. In fact, they have a famous maisa when Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of Daf Yomi, the Lublina Rav, was visiting the Chafetz Chaim. and Chavetz Chaim invited him to come for Shabbos. So Meir Shapiro said, it would be a great, great schutz for me. I only want to request that the Weiber, the women, sit in the kitchen, because my minhag is we don't eat with the women. So Chavetz Chaim said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to withdraw the invitation. He says, there's a din of Chazal that certainly suit us Leil Shabbos, and we'll see, it actually means Shabbos also. Husband and wives eat together, but that's good. It's a tiny different minhagim, but this is what the Chavetz Chaim said. Okay.
Does that mean? He's limited, he can't be gone for more than a week?
Well, obviously people are gone for more than a week. Chalasime means when he can go home, he's mechuyev to go home once a week. So again, if it's not shayach, it's not shayach. I mean, we learned yesterday about people who went away, Rabbi Akiva went away for 12 years, 24 years. Yeah.
So if a person has a choice of being away over a Shabbos or not, he should definitely avoid.
So you see from this that there's a very important inyan, that it's not just a question that the woman has food in the house. That's an important inyan for a husband to be home and eat with his wife, particularly Leil Shabbos. And then the Mishnah adds, Im Haisa Meinika, if a woman is a nursing mother, Pochsin La Mimaisa Yadeha, we deduct, it doesn't tell you how much, but we deduct from the Maisa Yadayim she's supposed to earn, Umosifin La Almazon Osaha, and you have to supplement the diets in whatever way is appropriate. And then the Mishnah ends, Bamedvar Mamurim, Piyani Shebi Yisrael. These are the bare minimums that no matter how poor a husband is, he must give his wife this amount of mizonos. Avo b'mechubad, but a person of more honorable status, hakol lefi chavodo, and even, remember we learned that even if she comes from a poor family, and she's used to very little, but oila imo v'eina yaredes imai, meaning she's entitled to his standard, even if it's not the standard to which she had been accustomed. Okay, but be it as it may, the Mishnah tells us that the amount of bread that a woman needs for the whole week is 2 kavim of chitin. That's the share that the Mishnah gives. So now the Gemara asks, money masnisen, who does our Mishnah go like? Doesn't go like any Tanoim who discussed this in another context. Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, v'lo Rabbi Shimon. How is this so? It's not. Now, this is a Mishnah in Erevin, and this Mishnah is talking about a Ruvei Chatzeres. A Ruvei Techumen. What's a Ruvei Techumen? If I want to go on Shabbos, more than 2,000 amos from my halachic residence. Now, my halachic residence can be quite huge. It can include a whole city and even beyond. But whatever that is, wherever it starts, I only have 2,000 amos from that point. But one of the ways I can extend is, let's keep it simple, listen, I don't live in a city. I have an isolated house in the country. I can only go 2,000 amos from my house. But let's say there's a bris that's 3,000 amos from my house. How do I go to the bris? So I put food before Shabbos within 2,000 amos of my house, but I redefine my halachic residence. My halachic residence is not my house. My halachic residence is where that food is. And therefore, I'm still given. I can still go home. I have a 2,000 amos radius in all directions, not from my home, but from that food. Now, the Mishnah points out, the Mishnah was well aware of this. This is what we would call a zero-sum game, in the sense that whatever you're gaining in that direction, you're losing in the other direction. But so what? If you need to go to that bris, that's what you want. So it does have to be within 2,000 amos of your home, otherwise you won't be able to go home, but you can extend it in that direction. Now, in order to be a kosher eruvei techumen, you have to put in enough bread that would suffice for 2 meals. And we have a machlokas, what is that shear? And then if you have it, we would figure out what the shear is for 1 meal. And that's going to be the basis of the Gemara's Kasha. So it starts off by saying, Disnan, the kama shiurei. What is the shear of a ruvei techumen? So it has to be mazon shtei sudos. There must be enough bread, because it has to be bread, for 2 meals, l'chol echad v'yachad, for every single person that is using. Unlike, see, let me just point out, unlike a ruvei chatzeros, where you don't need 2 meals for every person. Otherwise, your eruv would be huge. Right? How many people are somech on an eruv chatzeros? What, thousands of people. So obviously you don't need 2 meals for each one. But techumen tends to be a smaller scale, and therefore if there are 5 people using it, you got to have mazon shtei sudais for five, up to 18. Once you have 18 people, you don't have to go beyond that. Now, good, but then it says, mazono l'chol, based on the bread that you eat during the week, but not based on the bread you eat on Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Meir, the shear is su'udas chol. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, l'shabbos v'lo l'chol. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the shear of Shabbos. V'zeh v'zeh mischavnim l'hakel. Both of them are going with the lower shear, meaning there's actually no machlokas here. It's simply a machlokas. Do you eat less bread on Shabbos or less bread during the week? According to one Mandi Amar, because of Onik Shabbos, you tend to eat more, and therefore the food of Chol is a lesser amount. According to the other Mandi Amar, since Shabbos has so many delicacies, extra courses, so you might eat less bread during the week. All you may have is bread, so you'll eat more bread. Now, this doesn't tell me anything about the Mishnah, because this doesn't tell me at all how much bread that is. But the next two Mandi Amrim actually give you a view as to how much bread, and you'll see in a moment what the kasha is. That is, Rav Yechanan ben Breika Aymer, what is mazayin beis seudais? Kikar halakuach bepunjin. It is the amount of bread that you would buy with a punjin coin when four saw is purchased with a sella. Okay, so a little mathematics here, a little arithmetic. A punjin is 1/48 of a sella. Okay, now, a saw is a 6 kavin. So 4 saw is 24 kavin. Okay, 4 saw is 24 kavin. A punjin will therefore buy 1/2 of a kav. Right? It's following the mathematics here. In other words, when the price of bread is 4 saw per sella, a punjin will buy 1/2 kav. Now, if 1/2 kav is mazayin of 2 meals, that means 1/4 kav is mazayin for 1 meal. So now the kasha is like this. The Mishnah says the woman only needs 2 kavim per week. Now Rashi says the following. Rashi for some reason excludes Suda Shalishis, because maybe, indeed, Suda Shalishis on Shabbos doesn't require bread, at least b'diavad. Rashi says our assumption is there are going to be 14, because bread was really a staple, 14 bread meals a week. But if you're going to tell me that a shear of a seuda is 1/4 kav, then in 2 kavim you only get 8 meals. That is not enough to cover the week. So the Mishnah cannot go like Rav Yochanan ben Broka, because according to his shear, you only have enough for 8 meals, and the Mishnah requires that there be at least 14 meals. Right, so our Mishnah cannot go like Rav Yochanan ben Broka.
So she only gets 1 meal a day, except for Shabbos she gets 2?
No, she gets 2 meals a day.
No, I'm saying, if you're only giving her 8 meals. I mean, 6 days she gets 1, and 1 day she gets 2. That's 8.
No, but the Gemara. Well, I mean, you're offering a possible teretz, but the Gemara says that's not right, because she has to get 2 meals a day. So our Mishnah cannot be going through Rabbi Shimon's calculation, because you'd have to give more bread in order to comply with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Okay. Now, what does Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon apparently has a different shear. Shtei yados l'kikar, mishalosh kikros l'kav. Now, in a way, he's doing it a little easier, because he's not using money. He's just using volume directly. When you have 3 loaves of bread equal a kav, so that means 1 loaf is 1/3 of a kav, so 2/3 of that loaf, right, 2/3 of 1 loaf when it's 3 loaves per kav. So that's 3 loaves per kav. So 1 loaf is 1/3 of a kav. 2/3 of that, 2/3 times 1/3 is what? 2/9, right? So according to him, 2/9 of a kav is mazayin shtei sudas. 1/9 of a kav is mazayin suda achas. So in two kavim, you get 18 meals. So l'chayr, that's much more, or at least somewhat more, than she needs. So our Mishnah cannot go like Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry, the Mishnah cannot go like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, because according to him, the two kavim would be insufficient to give her 14 meals. And the Mishnah cannot go like Rabbi Shimon, because the Mishnah would be giving you an amount that is more than the woman needs. So apparently the Mishnah had some different shear, which does not correspond to the view of any of the Tanoim, right? That's why our Mishnah does not go like either Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka or like Rabbi Shimon. Maybe we'll stop here. Okay. All righty. I'll give you a suspense.